All right, so our next presenter is Daya Sidapa, and his presentation is titled Transient Inhibition of Mitogen Activated Protein Kinase Activity and Preovulatory Follicles Abolishes the Ovulatory Response to Gonadotropin in Mice.
Good morning, everybody. First of all, I would like to thank CSR for giving me an opportunity to present my research findings. Introduction. Ovary is a complex reproductive organ, consists of follicles of different developmental stages and corpus luteum. Main function of ovary is to produce steroids, namely estrogen and progesterone. These functions of ovary are regulated by gonadotropins, namely FSH and LH, metabolic hormones, and growth factors. These growth factors, metabolic hormones, and gonadotropins controls ovarian function, acting through interacting signaling pathways. Some of the important signaling pathways in granulosa cells that are known to affect the ovarian functions include PKA pathway, PI3K pathway, MAPK pathway, Wnt-Fizdl pathway, and JAK-STAT pathway. Among these pathways, MAPK is pretty interesting. The reason being, in 2009, Fan et al. Using granulosa cell-specific MAPK31 knockout mice showed that MAPK31 signaling in granulosa cells is required for LH-mediated ovulatory events. And they also stated that, These things we know. What we don't know is, are there any other transcription factors that mediate MAPK signals in granulosa cells? So to address this question, our hypothesis is MAPK pathway regulates ovulation through transcriptional regulation of ovulatory genes. To test this hypothesis, our general objective is to identify novel mechanisms by which MAPK31 regulates ovulatory events using a pharmacological model. Our specific objective were to pharmacologically inhibit MAPK31 activity transiently during HCG-induced pre-ovulatory follicle development, to determine the effect of transient pharmacological inhibition of MAPK313 activity on HCG-induced ovulatory events in vivo, to determine transcriptional mechanisms involved in ovulatory regulation of ovulatory genes in vitro. For these objectives, in my first experiment, we asked the question, can we inhibit MAPK31 activity in granulosa cells pharmacologically? To answer this question, we used ovarian superstimulation model, where we injected 5 international units of ECG at 0 hour, and 48 hours later, we injected 5 international units of HCG intraperitoneally. This is the superstimulation protocol. During this protocol, we administer drug, that is MEK inhibitor. I'm going to refer this as a drug in my future slide, at 25 micrograms per gram body weight to one group, or vehicle to another group intraperitoneally. 4 hours later, we collected granulosa cells to check the MAPK activity. Yes, we can inhibit MAPK31 activity transiently by using this drug. In drug-treated mice, granulosa cells showed inhibition of MAPK3 activity compared to vehicle-treated cell without altering total MAPK level. Then we asked the another question, what happens if we inhibit MAPK during HCG-induced pre-ovulatory follicle development? For that, we use the same superstimulation protocol and the same drug treatment schedule, but in this experiment, we collected cumulus oocyte complexes at 18 hours HCG to count the ovulations and also ovaries to do histology. Our results showed that in drug-treated mice, there were no ovulation. Ovulations were almost zero. Ovulations are zero compared to vehicle-treated mice. And also we found in ovarian histology showed vehicle-treated mice showed the presence of corpus luteum, whereas drug-treated mice showed follicles, pre-ovulatory follicles with entrapped oocytes. These oocytes were in germinal vesicle stage with unexpanded cumulus. From these, we concluded that MAPK inhibition is going to abolish ovulation, cumulus expansion, and oocyte maturation, which was reported by Joanne Richards' lab. Next, we asked the question how these things were happening. For that, we did another experiment. In this experiment, we used the same hormone treatment, drug treatment, but we collected granulosa cells at 0 hours HCG, 1 hour HCG, 4 hours HCG by follicular puncture for immunoblot and qPCR analysis. Why we did immunoblot analysis is to confirm that we are going to inhibit the MAPK activity. So by drug treatment, we inhibited MAPK activity at 0, 1, and 4 hour without altering the total MAPK protein level and also mRNA levels of MAPK3 and MAPK1. And also without shutting down the global transcription as indicated by unaltered level of FSH receptor mRNA, LH receptor mRNA, and SCAB1 mRNA and PAPA mRNA. Interestingly, the genes involved in ovulatory process like PTGS2, ADAMTS1, PGR, and TNFAIP6, and also genes involved in cumulus expansion like PTX3, HAS2, and interleukin-6, and genes involved in oocyte maturation like AREG and beta cellulin were drastically downregulated in drug-treated mice ovary granulosa cells compared to vehicle-treated mice granulosa cells. Then we asked what is the mechanism involved? Are there any transcription factors involved other than CEBP? We found that these genes, PTGS2, TNFAIP6, PTX3, and interleukin-6, these are not regulated by the reported CEBP beta transcription factor. Then we thought there must be another transcription factor which is controlling the transcription of these ovulatory genes. So our first option was EGR1, that is early growth response factor 1, because this is the transcription factor which is important in early hours of HCG stimulation. We found that in drug-treated mice, the mRNA and protein levels of EGR1 is drastically downregulated. Next, we asked the question, what's the link between MAPK downregulation and EGR1? Our obvious choice was serum response factor, because this serum response factor was known to bind to the promoter of the transcription factor EGR1, and also this serum response factor is a well-known substrate of SRF, well-known substrate of MAPK. mRNA level of serum response factor was not altered, but the activity indicated by phosphorylation status of SRF is downregulated by PD treatment compared to vehicle-treated mice granulosa cells. From this, we concluded that MAPK activity controls the activity of serum response factor, which in turn controls the transcription of transcription factor EGR1, which in turn controls the transcription of ovulatory genes. to specifically show EGR1 is going to bind to the promoter regions of ovulatory genes, we did chip analysis. For the chip analysis, we use GRMO to cell because we need more amount of cell. Before you doing chip, we ask a question: do GRMO to cell mimic in vivo HCG stimulated gene expression pattern? For that, we stimulated GRMO to cell line with cyclic AMP, and we collected granulosas. We collected cells at 0, 1, and 4 hour cyclic AMP, and we did the qPCR and compared this with in vivo HCG treated cells. Our results showed that GRMO and granulosa cell gene expression pattern is pretty much similar. Then we went ahead and we did chip. For the chip, we treated GRMO2 cells with or without cyclic AMP. After that, 4 hours after that, we collected the cells and we performed the chip using EGR1 specific antibody and rabbit immunoglobulins as control antibody. Our results showed that when we use the control antibody, there is no difference in binding of EGR1 to PTGS2 promoter using cyclic AMP. But when we use the specific antibody EGR1, cyclic AMP stimulated binding of EGR1 to the PTGS2 promoter. The same thing with ADAMTS1 promoter. From this, we propose our model that pre-ovulatory LH surge is going to induce MAPK31 activity, which in turn is going to induce SRF activity, which controls the transcription of EGR1, which in turn controls the transcription of ovulatory genes like PTGS2 and ADAMTS1, bringing the ovulation. From this, we concluded that MAPK31 regulates ovulation, at least in part through SRF, thereby regulating transcription of transcription factor EGR1 and its target PTGS2 and ADAMTS2 in granulosa cells of pre-ovulatory follicles. And inhibitors of MAPK, including PD0325901, are being proposed as anti-cancerous drug. They should be tested for their effects on fertility. I would like to thank my advisory committee members, our collaborators, lab members, and the professors who allowed me to use their laboratory space and funding agencies. Thank you very much for all your attention.
Hi, I'm Stephanie. So clinically, when we do IVF protocols or even gonadotropin stimulation, we're always focused on follicle development. But there are very rare but occasional patients who don't respond in terms of their ability to ovulate, even if they're given pulsatile GnRH, if they're hypogonadotropic, or even HCG. Do you know whether or not there are any human studies of individuals who have not problems with follicle development, but with ovulatory responsiveness that could be a potential patient cohort to look at for possible genetic abnormalities in the pathway that you're trying to develop?
I don't know any studies in human beings with this ovulation thing, so sorry.
No, maybe it would be good to partner with some clinicians who work in IVF clinics, maybe to see if there is a subset, even if small, of women who have such abnormalities that maybe could be either a genetic pool for you to examine or to expand your research program.
Yeah, that's interesting, yeah.
Thanks for your presentation. I've got a couple of questions. The first one has to do with the SRF dependency of the increase in EGR1.
Yeah.
So really what you showed us were correlated events. You didn't show a direct causation. And in fact, the Westerns that you showed, the dynamics or the temporal characteristics of the phosphorylation of SRF seemed to follow, not precede, the increase in EGR1. So at your earlier time point, you actually had more EGR1 than you had phospho-SRF. So I'm just wondering what makes you so confident that SRF is what's driving EGR expression. There are other factors like ALK1, for example.
Because there was a report in the literature saying that this SRF is going to bound to the promoter region of EGR1. So, and also this SRF is a substrate of MAPK, and MAPK is known to phosphorylate this SRF. So we found that in MAPK inhibited granulosa cells, the level of SRF were down almost zero. So because of that, we correlated the downregulation of SRF to the downregulation of mRNA and protein level of EGR1.
Okay. Well, at least from the Western I saw, it looked like the SRF phosphorylation followed the increase in the EGR1 expression. But the second question has to do with EGR1 knockout mice, which are, the females are infertile. They don't make LH, but that doesn't rule out effects at the ovarian level. So I wonder if you've considered getting those mice and looking at their responses to exogenous hormone stimulation to really show the dependency of those genes that you were looking at on EGR1 expression.
Yeah, we're not planning on knockout study, but we are planning to do it using the same compound. So yeah, that's a good suggestion. We'll do that.
Okay, thanks.
Any other questions?
Thank you.